Hey everybody, it is Tuesday, October 27th, and this is episode number 95 of the Tuesday Night Comics podcast. The march to 100 continues.
Oh man.
That voice you hear there is Dave, and I'm Billy. Switch that around this week.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Keep people on their toes when we're this close to 100.
It's funny when I talk to people and they're like, oh, so how many episodes of your podcast have you done? I'm like, oh, well, we're about like, you know, 10 away from like hitting the 100 mark. And they're like, whoa, you guys are legit.
Yeah. At New York Comic Con, I was talking to a guy and he was like, oh, you might have heard. He's like, I did a comic book podcast for a while with some friends. You might have heard of it. I said, oh, what was it called? He said the name. I forget it off the top of my head right now. And I said, oh, I did hear that one. I think I've listened to a couple episodes. And he said, yeah, you know, we made a bunch of episodes, but after a while, you know, it's just hard to like make them come out on a regular basis. And I was like, oh, really? Because I was afraid of that. And I said, well, how many did you make? He's like, you know, a lot, like 13. I was like, 13.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, get out of here.
Yeah. Well, you know, whenever I say that, I'm like, you know, like Billy totally like will crush it and do it on his own. And, you know, like when I'm on my honeymoon or getting married, like Billy's there with a fill-in all the time, or even sometimes flying solo.
Yeah. I do not like the episodes where I fly solo. I always prefer to have somebody to talk to because I feel like I ramble enough as it is when there's someone else on the podcast that I should cede time to. When it's just me, I just feel like I just like verbal diarrhea. But I love it because I'm like, oh, it's that sexy voice that I just can't get enough of.
Yeah. Right.
Words no one has ever said. So we're here to talk about new comics that are coming out on Wednesday, October 28th. And we got some trailers to talk about, too. Did you watch the Star Wars trailer, Dave?
I did watch it.
I almost did not watch it because I knew it was on the long side. I didn't want things to be spoiled. But they did a good job of not spoiling anything.
Nothing was really spoiled. It just made me want to watch it now.
Yeah. Did you get tickets to the movie? Have you bought tickets already?
No, I haven't. I don't really know what our holiday schedule is looking like. So I was like, well, you know, I'm sure like this movie will be in the movie theaters. Like probably like it's probably going to be like a little bit like a Home Alone where it's going to be in the movie theater for a long time. Like,
yeah, not only that, but like your wife is off between Christmas and New Year's. And so you might have time like during the day to like catch a matinee.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not like terribly worried about it. And I'm sure there's going to be times when we could just go like the two of us, or maybe it's something that like I'll go like, a day that we're at my parents' house, I'll go with my dad. Or you know, we'll figure it out when it gets closer if it's possible. If not, you know, it's not something that's gonna go away. So I'm gonna see it, but
yeah,
it probably won't be the first day.
And that's the benefit of living in the suburbs where you are, is that, you know, you could probably catch it the first week, no problem. Meanwhile, in New York City, like basically like the first weekend of showtimes in every theater in the city is sold out. And, you know, like the internet broke while people in New York were trying to buy tickets to this.
I'm sure the weekend, the opening weekend everywhere is probably sold out by now.
Yeah, definitely. But
that week, I think you could probably.
Like random shows, you probably.
Yeah, like you're like, oh, I'm going to go on a Tuesday night after work.
Yeah, after a podcast recording.
Right. You're totally fine.
Yeah, a Tuesday night movie, if you will. Tuesday night movies.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, my favorite night to see movies. That Star Wars trailer. Oh, man. Greg, who Tuesday night movies contributor, said he teared up a little when Han Solo came on the screen. And I was like, I totally understand that.
when Han was like, it's all real, I was like, Oh shit. Like, you know, like this was the guy who was like, you know, your Star Wars stuff is baloney.
Right.
The Force.
Yeah.
All that stuff, baloney. Like he was the guy who was like, meh. And now he's like, it's real.
Yeah.
Buckle up. Get your helmets on, kids. You're on for a ride with Grandpa Solo. You know, and I was like, I'm in. Strap me in. My helmet's already on. My lightsaber's on. Let's go. Where's Chewbacca? Let's go. And then they're like, you have to wait until Christmas. Yeah. I'm like, ah.
Well, you know, December 17th, so you only have to wait till like Hanukkah.
Ah, true.
It's funny. I saw a good internet meme yesterday where it was a picture of Han Solo saying that line, like, all of it, it's true. And then they cut to the girl and she's like, even that part where Greedo shot first, and he's like, and then cut back to Han. It's like, get off my ship.
Oh, internet memes.
Yeah, the best. Yeah, and then there was also the trailer for Jessica Jones, Alias, which is coming to Netflix.
Yes, the second part in this Defender series. So we first had Daredevil, and now we're going to have Jessica Jones.
Yeah, and then we're also getting Luke Cage will have his own series, and then Doctor Strange is going to have his own series too, right? Or is that going to be?
No. It's Luke Cage and then Iron Fist.
Gotcha. But Doctor Strange is a movie.
It's a movie, right.
Gotcha. And Cumberbatch.
Yeah, that won't be tied to the Defenders. The Defenders are going to be all street level characters. So, what did you think of the trailer?
I thought it was great. And I'm really excited that Luke Cage is in it, because I remember some people talking for a while that they did not think that that Luke Cage was going to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited because I like that actor who plays him a lot. He was on The Good Wife, Mike Coulter. And he played a drug dealer, what's his name in The Wire? Blanking, the guy who plays Luther.
Idris Elba?
Yeah, like Idris Elba's character in The Wire. He played that kind of character on The Good Wife where he needed like legal representation, but he was very rich, but he got his money through drugs. But he was a great actor. I believe he left the show to work on Alias. They kind of like wrote him off the show late last season. And I was like, oh, because I think he got cast as Luke Cage. So that's good. That should be awesome. Plus David Tennant, like, I feel like there's so many Doctor Who fanboys and fangirls who are checking out this show just because of David Tennant.
Right. Yeah. And you hear him a little bit, and he nails it.
Oh, he's so creepy. And the Purple Man is like one of the creepiest characters ever in the Marvel Universe.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
And then also Carrie Ann Moss of The Matrix is going to be in it too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of Doctor Who characters.
Yes.
DC's Legends of Tomorrow, you know that Jay Jackson character?
Yes.
We finally figure out who he is.
Oh, who is he?
He's going to be the other half of Firestorm in this Firestorm 2.0 in the Flash series. So it's going to be him and Martin Stein.
Oh, cool.
So it's a little weird because they've already introduced the character of Jason Rush, right?
Right.
And he only appeared on one episode, but you're like, oh, later on he's going to become Firestorm, you know? That's Jason Rush.
Right.
And now there's two J characters who are potentially going to be Firestorm. It seems a little weird.
That is weird.
However, like, it looks like they had to write out the Ronnie character, Robbie Amell. He's going to be in the new X-Files series that's coming out and a couple of movies. So I'm sure he did not have time for The Flash this year. So I wonder if this is kind of like a stopgap to Jason Rush. I don't know.
Yeah, it might be. And that DC Legends of Tomorrow cast looks really good. You've got Brandon Routh playing Ray Palmer, Arthur Darvill as Rip Hunter.
Yes, and that was my Doctor Who connection.
Ah, gotcha. It looks like an awesome cast, and that's coming at us in 2016, which will be here before we know it. I'm like, we're not getting this season until 2016. I was like, but that could be 2 months from 3 months.
Yeah, they're doing like a stopgap thing, kind of like Agent Carter. So
yeah, like a mid-season replacement kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah,
that's cool. I'm psyched. It's the worst title in the world.
Yeah. DC's Legends of Tomorrow. I noticed they've just started to call it Legends of Tomorrow.
And I'm sure soon it'll just be called Legends.
Right, yeah. Just like the... who wrote that series? John Ostrander?
Yes.
Is John Byrne John Ostrander? Yeah.
Yeah, John Ostrander wrote it and John Byrne did the art.
Drew, yeah, yeah. Also, with The Flash... the actress who plays Caitlin Snow, Danielle Panabaker, has revealed a photo on a TV show of her as Killer Frost.
And she looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, she looks hot.
Yeah, Entertainment Weekly ran that. And she's really good looking, you know, just without like a platinum wig and... you know,
a swimsuit.
But yeah, no, she looks great as Killer Frost. I was wondering how they were going to do that costume. I'm glad they're not going with that like classic 80s like evening gown and tiara look.
Yeah. Like, are you ready for bed and some Chardonnay?
Yeah.
That feels like it gets into like maybe a Will Ferrell sketch a little bit.
That is true. And I did love that costume when I was a kid, but
yeah. Look, how sexy is that? An evening gown. So I'm really interested to see how they make her Killer Frost. So this season on the Flash, a lot of villains from Earth 2 are coming over, and I wonder if she's going to be the Earth 2 Killer Frost.
Oh, that's a good point.
In order to like keep her character as one of the science-y people advising the Flash.
Yeah.
Or, you know, she's like, my wife really likes her character. So like, and I do too. And so I wonder if it's almost going to be like where you kill your darlings, you know, like everybody likes her. So.
Yeah, no, that's true. I do wonder if it is the Earth 2 counterpart, if we're going to see her get fridged by Frost.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, I wasn't speaking of like kill your darlings literally, but I meant like that if she becomes a Killer Frost, a villain, like right. That's kind of devastating too, you know.
Gotcha.
She will no longer be part of the, you know, the cast day to day if she's a
villain. Like the Scooby gang.
Right, exactly. So speaking of other hot females.
I like this game. Go on. Speaking of other hot females.
I'm just gonna loop it all the news together. Speaking of other hot females.
Speaking of other hot females might be the name of this podcast episode.
Jeb Bush thinks Supergirl's hot.
Okay, you threw me there. You're like, speaking of other hot females, Jeb Bush. Pause. And I'm like, huh?
Yes, yeah. He said that in an interview when they were asking him like who his favorite superhero characters were, and he said Batman. He's like, I saw, you know, like a commercial or an advertisement for Supergirl, and she's pretty hot. And then that's going to get some headlines.
Yeah, people, I saw that get headlines where, you know, people are like jumping on him for saying that. In his defense, Supergirl is hot.
But it also, like, at his age, it also becomes like a little bit like,
I don't know. She's in her 20s. She's not a teenager.
Right. No.
His age, I will probably look at a girl in her 20s and be like, she is hot. And if people think that's creepy, well, that wouldn't make any sense because it'll be a perfectly normal thing for me to do.
I think the thing is that, like, you know, when you're like, she's supposed to be probably like in her like, you know, like she's a younger girl, you know, or younger woman. And I think
I'm not running for president.
Right, right. You're not running for president. And I think it falls at some point, it does fall into the creepy uncle or creepy old man gallery where, you know, like keep that to yourself where you're like, hey, that's pretty hot, you know, and you're like, oh.
No, I get that. I remember I worked with a guy who, this was years ago, we used to commute on like the same subway train leaving work. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing next to him and he's looking at this lady who also commuted around the same time as us, didn't work with us, but like worked in a nearby building. He's like, oh man, you see her over there? That is my type. That is my type. Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That girl right there, that's my type. And I was like, that is so creepy. Not only was it super creepy, he was not whispering and she was like 2 feet away. Like he was pointing literally to the woman standing under us as we were standing on the subway. And I was like, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it.
So
that is creepy in the same, you know, way that the Jeb Bush comment is creepy.
Yeah.
And while I won't be voting for Jeb Bush, I will agree with him. She is rather fetching.
She is.
She's not hot. She's good looking. Like that's what you're like, whoa, hold on a second, Jeb Bush. Like, Amy Pond is hot. Supergirl is very good looking.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I guess it's
slow your roll, Jeb Bush.
well
like Clara Osgood is hot. Supergirl is rather attractive.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Kryptonians.
Speaking of hot Kryptonians. Doomsday.
Speaking of
Kryptonians and Speedos, Doomsday is getting a new series.
He's not, is he?
No, he's not. Okay. I feel like I missed that.
Yeah. I was like, damn it, missed it. Yeah.
Who's writing that?
Scott Lobdell.
Speaking of hot Kryptonians, it's the new title of this episode.
Krypton, prior to it was all hot and bothered and blew up, is getting a series 200 years in the past with producer David Goyer, who also was part of the Man of Steel movie. And the exciting news about this, it's going to be on Sci-Fi. And the exciting news about it is that it is going to take place in the continuity of Man of Steel.
Oh, that's fascinating. So it should be more exciting than that 80s limited series World of Krypton, which I thought was going to be awesome when I bought it as a kid. It turned out to be the most boring comic I think I've ever read in my life.
Right, right. You know, I think they're probably going to mine a lot of that for, like, you know, like Kryptonopolis is like the city capital. I'm sure they're going to take like a lot from that and a lot from like what Greg Rucka and James Robinson did, and as far as like building a world. There's a quote from David Goyer, and he says it takes 200 years before Man of Steel. We're treating Krypton like it's a historical piece. We look to previous cultures on Earth to model what that would be like. We scratched the surface in the film, and for me, that was the allure. I was fascinated as a kid with the books about Krypton, unlike you, Billy. That's not part of the quote, not part of the quote. And
I am very vocal in how boring I found that book as a kid. I should give it a second chance. Maybe it's really good.
And they've only shaded it in a tiny bit. So we learn about politics of the world. We'll learn about the culture, the art, and all the different guilds. So that's exciting. And a lot of the guilds, that was a big part of like Jeff Johns, Greg Rucka, and James Robinson and Sterling Gates run on their Superman family of books.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, and that run was much more exciting than the 80s series.
That's true. That is very, very, very true. So speaking of other DC series, or not series, but movies, the Joker we have finally seen him in costume. You know, we saw that like picture of him all tatted up and acting crazy. Jared Leto as the Joker for the new Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah.
Well, now we finally see him in his costume, and it's not that far off from what we saw before. We're just seeing a bit more purple and a bit more. It looks a little bit more like Joker, but it still looks like he shops at Hot Topic.
I shop at Hot Topic. yeah, no, that is very true. And I have seen people complaining about this costume. At the same time, it looks like it's a very popular Halloween costume this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool. I like it because, you know, I mean, how many times are you going to do like a suit Joker, you know? Right. And so now they're like, well, let's update it with modern fashion. Mm-hmm. And I find it interesting, you know, like whenever you see that kind of stuff happening. I even like on like Once Upon a Time, where you see the ABC show, where mm-hmm. you see like modern interpretations of clothing of the characters dress from Disney movies.
Oh, definitely.
So it's always interesting how you do a twist on it. And, you know, I'm sure it's going to fit in the world that they're building here. So I'm pretty excited about it. It looks cool. I mean, he looks like a douche who chops it Hot Topic, but I don't know if you're supposed to really think the Joker is a cool guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. He does look like, you know, an outcast from the Insane Clown Posse. But to be fair, the Insane Clown Posse look like they're the thugs in a Joker gang. So,
right,
it's like a snake eating its own tail.
When will it stop?
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of pale people, no, I don't. So Hyperion, the Avenger, the
yes.
alternate reality Superman in the Marvel Universe, is getting his own series. This was actually announced at New York Comic Con in the Marvel Plus Unlimited members panel. And it's going to be written by writer Chuck Wendig, who hasn't done any comic book work. He did write the recent Star Wars novel Aftermath. And mm-hmm. another note, he actually went to high school with one of my friends.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so another one of my friends who's a big Star Wars fan like I am, was like, oh, one of my friends is writing a Star Wars novel that takes place like after Jedi, but before this new movie. And I was really excited for it to come out. I actually haven't had a chance to read it yet. It just came out, I think, like Labor Day weekend. And I've just been in the middle of other books. But yeah, it looks pretty cool. I have seen angry Amazon reviews for Star Wars Aftermath because like Han, Luke, and Leia and Chewie aren't in it. It's all like new characters and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. But this Hyperion book does look cool, and the art I've seen of it looks pretty awesome, too.
Yeah, and the art's by Nick Varela?
Yeah, I think you got his name right there. Varela? Yeah.
Varela, yeah. So it's going to be set in the American heartland, and I guess this is going to be spinning out of the Squadron Supreme series that James Robinson's doing.
Which sounds awesome. I'm really excited for that Squadron Supreme book.
Yeah. Also spinning out of that book is Nighthawk.
Yes.
And he gets his series written by the current Cyborg writer from DC, David Walker.
Mm.
And it'll be set in Chicago, and it'll be Bloody Justice.
Ooh.
So my one thing about these two series is that I haven't read any Squadron Supreme yet, any of right. or Supreme whatever
Supreme Power.
Yes, that's the other one. But I think much like the Authority, it's they're like, you know, aggressive versions of the Justice League, if not villainous.
So version. Supreme Power definitely is. The original Squadron Supreme series is definitely worth reading. It holds up. It's really good. It's available in trade. I think it's available digitally as well. Yeah, Mark Gruenwald, the dearly departed Mark Gruenwald, wrote that. And it's a modern take on the Justice League, but dealing with like real world ramifications to their powers. It was similar to the Authority run. I think a lot of the Authority was inspired by it.
Okay.
And that, you know, they try tackling like global hunger and nuclear war and stuff like that. And they get a lot of pushback from like the world at large.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think the great thing about The Authority and books like that is that they are set on alternate realities, right?
Yes.
And so they're able to do things without the heroes of the world, you know, stopping them.
Right.
From doing those things. So with this new Squadron Supreme series, it looks like James Robinson is setting it up for them to like know that like they might be stopped from doing things from the Avengers, and they're planning on that, right?
Yeah.
But then when you get into like the characters of Hyperion and Nighthawk, I just wonder like how far are you able to go with these characters without like
breaking the Marvel universe there.
Right. You know, like what are they able to do?
And, yeah.
And you know, I think what eventually happens, much like the Deathstroke series in the 90s, you know, kind of made him more of an anti-hero than a villain.
And Deathstroke series totally watered down his character terribly to the point where like Geoff Johns really saved Deathstroke with the when he started writing Teen Titans.
Right. And I think that problem happens with Midnighter too. They don't know where to put him.
Right.
Because he's kind of now part of the Bat family.
Although from everything I read, this current Midnighter series by Steve Orlando is fantastic.
I haven't read that yet, but you know, I wonder what they're going to, how they solve that problem.
Right.
And you know, you could solve it with like a character piece, but I'm very interested to see where these go and how well they hold up as far as not being like aggressive versions of Batman and Superman.
Gotcha.
So speaking of aggressive characters,
I love this. The segue episode. Go on.
Yeah. The Punisher is returning in his all new series written by Becky Cloonan, who's a writer on Gotham Academy, mm-hmm. and classic Punisher artist Steve Dillon.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah.
When you said classic Punisher artist, I was like, Mike Zeck? And then you said Steve Dillon. I was like, okay. He's definitely a classic Punisher artist. I just went a little too far back. John Romita?
The new series sees a normal drug bust take an unexpected turn when Frank learns that the drug creates unstable super soldiers. Discovers that one of the men behind the drug is a familiar face from his military career, he digs back deeper and deeper into the Northeast's underworld. But can he find his way back? Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, 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 indeed. Yeah, that sounds cool. If Punisher seems to be one of these characters who just like can't get a foothold anymore. Going back to like how popular he was in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
It's amazing because at one point he had three series running concurrently. And now he can't have a series that lasts that long unless you have like a Garth Ennis, Steve Dillon team taking it forever, you know?
Right.
But like, as far as like handing off to another creative team, it just doesn't seem to happen. Like he lasts until like those creators leave. And like, same with like Greg Rucka, like, you know, there was a Punisher series until Greg Rucka was done with him. And then,
right.
And then nothing. But Punisher merchandise still sells. Like Under Armour makes Punisher like workout clothes. But like the merchandising is all there, but it seems like the stories, I don't know. We're just waiting for somebody to really like sink his teeth in.
Yeah.
Maybe Becky Cloonan's that person.
Maybe. It sounds like a cool premise.
Yeah, no, that definitely does sound like a cool premise.
So the last bit of news here.
Yeah.
Iron Man is getting another series.
Yeah, also written by Brian Michael Bendis.
Right. But with art by Alex Maleev.
Yeah, that's the classic Daredevil team.
Yes.
And that is really exciting. It's funny how excited I am for this series, considering how unexcited I was for Invincible Iron Man number one, because I was like, I'm Bendis out on Iron Man. That's exactly what I said. And now I'm like, I could totally buy two Iron Man titles a month written by Bendis.
Right, and this will be called the International Iron Man.
And this seems to be what Bendis does. Like, I was like, I can't believe he's going to be writing two titles, both about Iron Man. But I was like, oh, wait, this is what he does. Like, he writes multiple Avengers titles, and then he leaves those to write multiple X-Men titles. And so even though these are going to have just the same character, his X-Men titles had like overlapping characters, as it, and his Avengers titles certainly did.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess I shouldn't find this too surprising. Yeah. So what do you think? Are you excited for this series?
I actually read the Iron Man number one this week, and I was okay with it.
Okay.
But I didn't love it like you did. You know, right. I thought it was good, and I would give it a shot, you know, but I wasn't like, oh my God, I need to read more of this.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah, I thought it was perfectly paced. Like, I was like, it gripped me. I did not, Iron Man number two came out last week, right? I did not buy it. So I guess I wasn't as excited as I thought I was.
All right.
But I'm bummed. Yeah. Is that it for news? I think
that's all the news.
We had so much news that I wasn't sure if there's still more.
Yeah.
Cool.
Speaking of the news, what's in your 20?
What's in my 20? Okay. And for anyone who hasn't listened to the podcast before, the 20 is a segment that Dave and I do where we look at the new comics that are coming out this Wednesday, in this case, October 28th. And we stick to a $20 budget. So you really have to make hard choices here. But right off the bat, Justice League Dark Side War Batman number one, written by Peter Tomasi. How do I not buy this book?
Yeah, Batman book by Peter Tomasi.
Yeah, I was not planning on buying the Dark Side War tie-ins. And then I read Justice League number 45 last week. And I was like, yeah, I'm buying all of them. I'm like, this looks amazing. So I'm totally in for this. Peter Tomasi writing it. I probably would have bought it anyway, but the fact that they got like an actual Batman writer to write it and not just like, you know, somebody's tryout issue, I'm excited.
Right. I wonder if, because Peter Tomasi is writing it, we'll see where it sits in continuity with the rest of Bat books.
Oh, that would be fascinating. Yeah, that's a very good point. Especially because he's just like in Justice League 45, he's like, I need to go like fix my city.
Right.
I'm excited. It's amazing how much excitement I have built for this in the past like 3 or 4 weeks. When I first heard of these, I was like, no, this just seems like a cash grab. But this, it actually looks like DC cares.
Yeah.
I'm so jaded. The second thing in my 20 is Chewbacca number two by Jerry Duggan and Phil Noto. Out of all the all new, all different Marvel Now series that just launched, I don't know if Chewbacca counts, but Chewbacca is my favorite. It is Jerry Duggan writes Chewbacca perfectly, and Phil Noto was born to like draw Star Wars characters. And the first issue is really cool. Jerry Duggan writes Chewbacca kind of like Clint Eastwood in, you know, like the Man with No Name trilogy.
Yeah.
So he's separated from all the other main Star Wars cast, and he ends up on this like backwater world. And this is definitely like Star Wars is a space Western. This is definitely a Western too, like a High Noon or a Fistful of Dollars kind of Western. So after reading the first issue, I was like, yeah, I can't wait for Marvel Unlimited. I gotta buy this now. So that brings me up to $8. The next book is Secret Wars Official Guide to the Multiverse number one, written in art by Varius, one of my favorite creators. just like the Multiversity guidebook, like I'm just excited for this. There, I don't believe there will be a story book ending it the way the Multiversity guidebook did.
Yeah.
But I'm always a sucker for these official handbook of the Marvel Universe or DC Who's Who type books.
Yeah, that is cool. I wonder how it ends up. Is this like what the universe looks like post Secret Wars?
I think it's supposed to be during Secret Wars, because Mike McCann posted the cover he drew for it on Instagram, and it looks like the cover to Secret Wars number 12 from the 1980s, with the one where Doom is like, his face is all fixed and he's, you know, holding ultimate power. It's the same cover, but he's in like his white God Doom outfit. So,
right.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. That is a good question. I assume it's going to be how things are in Battle World, but yeah, I don't know. And then, so I had a hard time like filling in the rest of my 20, but then I saw that Vertigo is releasing its quarterly SFX. It's the third issue of this, also written and art by Various. I just love that creator. This is an $8 price tag, and I was like, perfect, except, oh, this brings me the $21. And so I went over by a dollar. I was like, oops, but I think Vertigo Quarterly SFX is a book that people will overlook. One, because of the price tag, two, because it's an anthology. What right. I'm saying is it should not be overlooked. I don't know any of the specifics behind it, but these Vertigo anthology books are usually really good.
Yeah, they're always very good.
Yeah, and there's usually at least one story that will like blow you away and like be worth the price of admission alone. So I highly recommend picking that up. And that brings me to $21. Sorry, everybody, I want a dollar for the price tag.
Well, I too am getting Justice League, Dark Side War, Batman number one, for all the same reasons we just talked about. Which is $4. Next up, I'm getting Black Magic by Greg Rucka and Nicola Scott.
Now, what? That's an Image book, right?
Yeah. Black Magic number one. It says, The Hammer Falls This Halloween, from New York Times bestseller and Eisner-winning author Greg Rucka and superstar artist Nicola Scott, who... you and I both really liked on Earth 2.
Yes.
Detective Rowan Black works robbery/homicide for Portsmouth PD, but her greatest mystery is the truth about herself, both who she has been and who she will become. Yet there are others in Rowan's world with very long memories, and the power that one person holds, another will always covet. Plus, each issue also features all new work of original fiction by Greg Rucka, a new gothic noir ongoing series about legacy, destiny, redemption, and the price of magic.
That sounds very cool.
I'm a big fan of both those creators. I like Greg Rucka's work, especially in long form. And Nicola Scott has just gorgeous art. So I don't know how I could pass this up.
Yeah, definitely. Knowing your fandom for both those creators, that seems like a must buy for you.
So that's $4. So I'm up to $8. And next up is Aquaman number 45. Aquaman is has learned, you know, that Mara, her evil twin sister, was posing as her, and then, you know, Mara was like, you know, captured and all this stuff, so it wasn't actually Mara. But the cover on here just is the coolest cover.
So wait, the person who's been trying to kill Aquaman is not actually Mara, is that what's going on?
Right, it's her evil twin sister, obviously.
It's like General Hospital.
Yeah. So, but the cover is just the coolest cover ever. It's, well, not ever, but close to ever. Aquaman is sitting on top of an undersea alien dinosaur. Boom.
Boom. I'm pulling up that cover right now as you describe it. And I'm excited for it. The coolest cover ever, you say. I gotta see this. Oh, wow. That is a cool cover. It's actually got two cool covers.
Oh, yeah. The variant's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, the variant, I guess it... Oh, no, the regular cover is amazing. Yeah, that is super cool. That almost looks like a Jeff Darrow drawing.
Yeah, it does.
It's so detailed. That's great. I assume Alec Morgan also did the cover for that?
I think so.
Yeah, that looks like it could also be Aaron Cooter, but I'm assuming it's Alec Morgan. Yeah.
I'm also picking up Cyborg number 4, okay, which is $3. Cyborg's fighting different tech aliens, and it's written by David Walker, the guy who's we just spoke about, and right, art by Ivan Rice and Joe Prado.
Yeah. And the Metal Men are in this issue, right?
The Metal Men are definitely in this issue.
I really like the way the Metal Men were handled by Geoff Johns and Ivan Rice during Forever Evil when they teamed up at Cyborg in the pages of Justice League. So
yeah, I can't believe you're not reading this book.
Yeah, I'm basically like waiting for a 99-cent sale, and I'm just going to dive in.
Yeah. After that, I'm grabbing Gotham by Midnight, which is also $3. Drake and Corrigan find themselves on the run from the Gotham City. Drake.
You call me on my cell phone, Mecca?
not the rapper / teen soap opera star. Right. But it is Drake. I think it's Lieutenant Drake, who I think the writers had said, like, this she is supposed to be like the second cousin of Black Canary.
I thought you were gonna say the rapper Drake.
Second cousin of Drake.
The second cousin of the Black Canary. Oh, okay, Dave. I was wondering where you're going with that.
The Black Drake.
Wow.
Cake.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a special for Halloween.
Oh, cool. Look for that.
Wasn't Drake's cakes the
deliciousness?
Weren't they the comics that, like, the one page comic advertisements?
No, those are Hostess fruit pies.
It was Drake's cakes. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. Like
yes. So Corrigan is going to face the Spectre once and for all in order to save Drake. And not the rapper, and all of Gotham City. So it seems like it's building for this series to go out with a bang. So I hope it really does. Last thing on my pull list is Justice League 3001, number 5 by Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis, and Howard Porter. It's $3. There's a new Batman in town, and he's all armored up, and it looks like he is going to be fighting the Batman from 3001, and he looks like maybe like a Kingdom Come-ish Batman.
Is it going to be revealed that it's actually a Batwoman? Because isn't the whole cast like being transformed into women soon?
Oh, yeah. You know, maybe that's a good... It might be a woman. That's a good call. But I, too, went over by $1 and went to $21.
Oh, okay, cool. So I don't feel so bad then.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, we're going to, so we're changing the segment to the 21 this week.
The 21.
Yeah, that's it. We meant to do that. I just forgot to announce it. Yes. So what did you read this week, Dave?
I read a lot. I read Justice League.
I read a little, but that's what I read. Number 45, I assume you mean.
Yeah. And it was a great story. Did you like it?
It was amazing. At first I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about Jason Fabok not drawing this issue. Oh man, the art on it. It's not like I don't like the artist. Like I that art was just amazing.
Yeah. It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Francis Manapal's inks, washes.
Yeah, I think he like went above and beyond what we usually even see from him. And I like Francis Manapal a lot. And I'm like, wow, this book, it, like by the time you hit page 3, it's awesome. And then by the time you hit like page 5 and 6, I'm like, oh my God. And it just, the art just keeps getting better as the issue goes on.
Yeah. And Geoff Johns writes the Justice League like he's a child playing with toys.
Mm.
And like when I'm reading it, I'm like, that's a compliment, because when I'm reading it, I'm like, oh man. And then this should happen. Mm-hmm. And like, sometimes it does. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. And you know, when Darkseid dies and Lex Luthor's on Apocalypse, and I'm like, oh man, and then Lex Luthor would totally take over Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's setting up.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, like, it's like, you know, Superman, he's gonna go into Apocalypse's, you know, son, and then he's gonna be bad Superman. And you know, it's so fun, but like, also, you know, Geoff Johns knows what is fun about comics and like the simplicity in what makes comics fun.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. Like, I absolutely loved, I absolutely love this issue. And who did the coloring on it? Because I think that's a lot where it shined. Was that also Manipal? Was that just part of his art?
No, that's Brad Anderson.
Wow. Yeah, he knocked it out of the park. Like, I think he made Manipal's art that much more exciting. Like, very rarely do you hear me like go gaga over a colorist, you know, despite their hard work. But I like this issue. Wow. Yeah. And like I said, this issue made me excited for all the one shots. Like, I want to see where every one of these stories goes.
Yeah. John set that up really well to be like, oh, I want to know where the Flash is going as the Black Racer, and where evil Superman's going, and Metron Batman, and you know, what's going on with Green Lantern.
Yeah,
totally. The core. And you know, I just want to know more about Wonder Woman and who's Darkseid's daughter's name? Grail.
Grail. Yeah.
And because she seems like the anti Wonder Woman, and so it was all totally a great read.
Yeah, no, I agree. And oh man, and like, just what happens to Luther, I don't want to spoil it because it's really like the last few pages, but just the art on those four pages where I this is the Forever people who capture him, right? Like, they're
they're not forgot.
Oh, okay. So this I'm not really too familiar with the Fourth World Saga.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't new characters who capture him, though, right?
I think they are.
Oh, really? Okay. But like, what they do to him, like, just on those four pages, like, absolute gorgeousness. I wonder if Manipal does this on the computer or if he does this on like pen and ink. Yeah, I would love to just see a process video.
Yeah, I think it's all ink. That would be.
Yeah. And I'd like love to see how the colorist works too, because oh man, such a good book. If you haven't read The Dark Side War, you should. The first part of the storyline is great. This launches Act Two of it, and I think this, like, I was loving The Dark Side War, and I think this just shot up even higher. Like, you know, like there's a new peak in the series, and it's this issue.
Yeah, definitely. The other book that I read that was new this week was Dr. Fate number 5 by Paul Levitz and Sonny Liu.
Yeah, how was that? They had an awesome cover. I think that won for best cover last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous cover. It was really good. It ends with a cliffhanger where Dr. Fate is trying to save his father's life, and in return, spoilers if anyone's reading Dr. Fate and has not read it yet, but he loses his sight. And it really made me think of Dr. Strange and what we were talking about last week, and his loss of the use of his hands as a surgeon, you know. And I wonder if it'll stick or not.
Yeah, that is interesting. And that's another series that I just need to jump into. I've read the first two issues and I haven't read past there.
Yeah. Also, at the same time, DC's been releasing the 90s Fate series by John Francis Moore, Anthony Williams, and Andy Lanning. Mm-hmm. It's like they're, you know, they start filling in their back catalog online. And so I've read, they just put out issues 0 through 2 because it jumped off of Zero Hour in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And I've read all these books before. I liked them when I was, you know, in middle school, high school. And man, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, because I never read that series, and it just looks, it looks so 90s with a Z at the end of it.
Yeah, and I think it gets a bad rap because Fate is dressed what looks like a 90s parody or parody, right, of a 90s image outfit. And I mean, to be fair, it was like 94 when this book came out, so it was like a year after like Image struck big and stuff like that. So he's got, you know, like the pouches and a big blade, and you know, like you know, Dr. Fate's helmet is now a blade, and he's got an Ankh burned on his face, and you know, he's got like this like shitty mullet, pardon my French. And yeah, but the writer of this series, John Francis Moore, he has written everyone's favorite episodes of the 90s Flash television series.
Ah.
He wrote both Tricksters.
I was going to say, he wrote the Mark Hamill episodes.
Yeah, he did. And also the Nightshade episode and the Ghost in the Machine, which featured Nightshade, who was like a Golden Age Sandman lookalike. One of those ones?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, I sure do. And they were my favorite episodes. And the artist is pretty good. I think he's early on in his career, because after that he jumped onto Superman books, and you know, he was on there for a stint, and he's definitely a solid artist. And the story has parallels to the Dr. Fate series that I'm reading now. Like, both are about reluctant heroes who are fighting like these godly like characters, and they're both wearing like hipper versions of Dr. Fate's 1940s outfit.
Right.
But like, they're very different characters. Like, Jared Stevens Fate is very different from Khalid. And he is he's like a grave robber who ends up like, you know, becoming a reluctant hero. But I also read that the original writer, John Francis Moore, had a hard time writing the series because his direction was to make it 90s, you know, extreme Fate, you know, and he really wasn't into doing that, but he did it anyway. So I wonder if some of that kind of comes across in the writing. And the writing's pretty good. You know, it's a little bit expositional, as you know, older comic writing tends to be. Some parts are a little uneven, like, you know, in the beginning of the series, he's, you know, kind of baffled about magic stuff, but by like the third issue, he's like, well, this is obviously because of this. And you're like, how did you learn this all in like three issues? But, you know, it's a decent read.
No, it's awesome. And that's funny, like how much the new series and that old series line up with each other, which does make me think, like, in a few years, are we going to look back on this series of Dr. Fate and be like, whose idea was it to put Dr. Fate in a blue hoodie?
Right, right. Yeah, like everyone rolling their eyes or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hipster Fate.
Yeah, yeah. We're like, oh, extreme Fate. Now this is hipster Fate.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But, you know, I kind of think it might work out a little better this time. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
I also read a lot of recently reduced books on Comixology. So a lot of times I wait for them to drop a dollar. So Bizarro is now only $2. And
wow,
so
nice.
I read Bizarro number 3 by Heath Corson and Gustavo Duarte. And there's one page that was actually by Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ba. And they did a map of Bizarro's body / soul when it is
awesome.
Taken over by a ghost, and it's a maze that leads around his body, and that this character goes on, and his mind is actually a maze, you know, like one of those ones that you would do a pencil on, and his heart is the biggest thing in his body. And the funniest thing I thought was that his brains are in his fists. Because he he thinks with his fists, you know.
That's so funny.
And it was a gorgeous page, and it fit nicely into the series. And it was a fun read. I also read Black Canary 3, also dropped $2. This it bridges the gap with where Black Canary is now and where she was from her old Birds of Prey and Team 7 series. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see that, like, they're not just throwing out old continuity that has only been around for like 2 years. And I also read Martian Manhunter number 3. And I'm going to get into a little spoilers here, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please do.
So in this series, Rob Williams, the writer, is introducing all these new characters who are all Martians. Or some aren't, but, you know, you're like, oh, this guy's probably like a Martian, and he'll find out that he's a Martian later. And they're all kind of interesting characters. And then you find out that they're all Martian Manhunter. And Martian Manhunter's kind of almost like a hive mind.
Interesting.
So that was cool. But the bummer is that I feel like Martian Manhunter doesn't have an awesome supporting cast. Mm. And what Rob Williams was doing was building an awesome supporting cast. And now it's not a supporting cast. It's just Martian Manhunter.
Gotcha.
I also read The Secret Six.
Think you're going to keep up with Martian Manhunter?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a bummer, but it was still interesting.
Yeah, it is a fun twist.
But, you know, I think that, you know, one of the great things about your Spider-Man, Superman, Batman casts are that they have, like, great supporting characters that support the main character. And I think that Rob Williams was doing that very well, and now they're just aspects of Batman, of Martian Manhunter.
Right.
The last recently reduced book I read was Secret Six number 5 by Gail Simone, and art by Dale Eaglesham and Tom Derenick. And this story just keeps getting better. And we see that Ralph Dibny, who is like big guy or something, in the series, explains who he actually is, that he's the Elongated Man. And they're pitting him against Mockingbird, who is the Riddler. And I was like, what better person to pit Ralph Dibny, the guy who loves mysteries, against, right, but the Elongated Man, and to put him in a group that's just all about secrets.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's, you know, it's a great, great read. And I suggest everybody read this book.
That's awesome.
I also read Pete Tomasi's run on The Outsiders, which I picked up on a 99 cent sale recently.
Yeah, I bought that run, and I have not had a chance to look in that. I need to do that.
Yeah, in that series, there's a special that kicks it off that wasn't in that 99 cent sale. It's like Batman and the Outsiders Special 1 or something like that. Right. And so read that before you get into it, because it ties directly in. And it's got gorgeous art by one of the Kuberts. This is such a great, great, great series. Pete Tomasi ties in Vandal Savage stuff from the stuff Greg Rucka was doing, with him being Kane and being marked by the Spectre. He brings in stuff with the recent return of Ra's al Ghul. It's taking place right after Final Crisis / Batman RIP. And so Batman is, Bruce Wayne is presumed dead. And Alfred puts together this team, and from this video recording that Batman gives him. And basically, the premise is that Batman built the Outsiders to be a global, bigger Batman. So each member of the Outsiders is a aspect of his personality.
Oh, interesting.
So
almost like a Batman Inc., but people not who aren't Batman.
Right. Or, you know, I think it's like the, I thought of it almost as the flip side to Grant Morrison's Arkham Asylum. Or
Right.
even, you know, like what we were just talking about, Martian Manhunter, you know, and that team of characters that that writer built only to be the Martian Manhunter, but these are actually separate people. And the main story is a good read, and then it has to jump into other Batman things, and then Blackest Night, and it finishes off pretty nicely. But it also ties into like a special that Brad Meltzer wrote, and it was a really, I think it was an underrated run because I didn't know about all the stuff that was going on in this book that tied into the rest of the DC universe.
And you only read the Tomasi run, right?
Right.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
And
that makes me excited to read it.
yeah, and it's definitely accessible by itself.
Oh, awesome.
The last thing I read was Day Tripper by Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ba, who did
Speaking of
that,
Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ball.
who did that amazing page in Bizarro. And Day Tripper is a gorgeous book, and it almost brought tears to my eyes at the end.
I've never read Day Tripper, but it is one of those books that people who don't traditionally read comic books seem to love.
Yeah.
As well as people who do read comic books.
Basically, I don't want to give away the ending
Yeah,
because it,
please don't,
like,
because I want to read it.
yeah, but like the gist is that each chapter is a death that this guy goes through.
Gotcha.
And it jumps around in his life, and then it culminates in a way that, you know, is fitting, but, you know, somewhat unexpected, and it's very personal. You know, it definitely touches the heart of the character that they were writing. And yeah, I think that is probably my biggest recommend for this week, is to go out, buy that graphic novel. It's amazing.
That's cool. Yeah. That is a book that is constantly recommended to me, and I never do read it. I need to do that.
Yeah, do it, man, do it. And that's it.
That's it.
Speaking of that's it, I think we should end the episode.
Okay, I thought you were gonna be speaking of that's it, I quit. I'm like, wait, what?
And done.
What? No, that's not it. That's funny. Okay, yeah, let's end the episode. That sounds like a good idea. And though this I think was a great episode, a little on the long side, but a
Yeah.
fantastic one at that. And thank you everyone who listened. If you are a regular listener of the show, or if you are just a casual listener, or if this is your first time listening, please go on iTunes and rate us. That helps get the word out about this podcast. The more ratings, the better. Even if you have ways that you think we can improve the show, I don't mind. We'll take a 4-star rating. No, just
Yeah.
only, yeah, but you know, but if you're a real fan of the, if you're a real friend of the show, throw us 5 stars on iTunes. It'd be appreciated. Right, Dave?
Right.
All right. All right, everybody. Have an awesome Tuesday night. I'm Billy. That is Dave. And we will see you next week.